Welcome, everyone, to Rock Buzz, Ocean Pines Community Podcast. I am Sherry Clifford, and I am here with my co-host, Amy Peck. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent the views of our guests or others, nor are we affiliated with the Ocean Pines Association. Our mission is to bring factual news and information to the residents and homeowners of Ocean Pines and the surrounding areas. You can join the ROC's Facebook group by searching for Ocean Pines ROC or find us on Twitter and Instagram. Also, be sure to look for the official ROC logo. If you have news or would like to share your story on Rock Buzz, or if you would like to advertise with us, you can visit our website, oceanpinesroc.com, or email us at info@oceanpinesroc.com.
Today we have Ocean Pines resident Becky Colt Ferguson, Tess Waller from the Foster Care Unit at Department of Social Services, and the Director of the Department of Social Services, Roberta Baldwin. Welcome. We're going to start off with you, Becky, as an Ocean Pines resident. Can you tell us and our listeners how you came to serve on the Worcester County Department of Social Services Advisory Board?
After retiring from a career in healthcare, I moved to Worcester County full-time in 2021. I was looking for a community home where I could use my nursing leadership skills to help others. And I saw a posting for a position on the Worcester County Department of Social Services Advisory Board in a local newsletter. I completed the application, interviewed, and I was assigned to District 7 as a member.
Where is District 7?
That's Ocean City.
Okay. Now, can you share a little bit about what the advisory board does?
Yes, specifically the Maryland Code of Human Services, Title 3, Subtitle 5, truly outlines the general guidelines and board duties and functions. But simply, advisory boards are involved in an agency's annual strategic planning to assist the agency in providing timely services that enhance the quality of life for individuals and families. In this case, the Worcester County Department of Social Services seeks to support individuals with dignity and respect to support their independence and family living goals in a safe environment. The advisory board usually has 9 members and provides ongoing support to the agency that works collaboratively with the staff to help solve staff problems and offer resources or ideas to help, offer a forum for discussion and generate awareness for stakeholders like this podcast, act as a link between members of a community and an agency, celebrate the agency and its accomplishments, and support the agency mission and vision. Specifically, we support staff motivation and morale. We celebrate achievements. We maintain a presence at community events, and we meet monthly to identify strategy and more.
It sounds like a busy job.
So Becky, what brings you in to do the podcast with us today?
You know, our Worcester County community at large is a very giving community. When there's a call to help, our community welcomes a response to a need, but sometimes it's really hard to ask for help for yourself. And importantly, asking for help is the first step that empowers a person to take control of their life. On behalf of the advisory board, we want the residents of Worcester County to know what DSS services exist. We want residents to know how to access a DSS representative for help, and we want to know how we can help Worcester County residents better.
So let's introduce our next guest joining us here today, which is Roberta Baldwin. Can you tell us what your position is with DSS and your background?
I am the director with the Department of Social Services here in Worcester County, and I am a social worker and have been a licensed clinical social worker for the last 34 years.
Well, you've been there for a very long time. Can you share with our listeners what the department does?
Yes, the department provides multiple services. We are an agency that is supportive, and our goal is to provide protection to children, families, and vulnerable adults, while also providing benefits and supportive emergency assistance. We are the agency that oversees and works with families to receive food stamps, medical assistance, child support, and any other types of emergency assistance that help families to relieve issues they may be experiencing.
Well, for today's podcast, we'd like to focus on child protective services. So can you explain exactly what is child protective services?
Child Protective Services is a range of services that the department provides. Our goal is to protect children and assist parents or caretakers in providing proper care and attention to children. We remedy and decrease the risk of continuing abuse and neglect, and we provide alternative plans of care for children when parents or caretakers are unable to provide proper and safe care for them.
So what kind of services are available to support the families and the children?
So the department provides multiple services. Often the family first becomes involved with the department because a referral is made from a community partner. At that time, the department reviews the referral, and then it's determined whether an investigation of abuse or neglect needs to be conducted, or we provide what we call an alternative response. And that's where a social worker or a case manager goes out to the family, helps the family identify what areas of concern they may be experiencing, and then look at solutions to resolve and remedy any risk that a child or family may be experiencing.
So, Roberta, can you tell us a little bit about the emergency assistance programs that you have and what's available for families and children?
I would like to emphasize that it's important that we do provide multiple services to prevent a crisis from occurring. So we have emergency intake services where a family or an individual can come to the office or contact our office. We are available to support and assist families if they are experiencing an episode of food insecurity. We can help individuals or families if they're experiencing homelessness. We can help families if they have a child or an older adult who may be experiencing a crisis related to behavioral health issues or physical or medical issues.
Wow. And I guess in this economy, the need is great. Now, one area that we're hearing there is a great need is foster care. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the foster care program?
Yes, foster care is a temporary service that provides short-term care and supportive services to children who are unable to live at home because of child abuse and neglect.
So what are the goals for these children in foster care? Is it a temporary placement? Is the goal to get back with their parents?
Yes, and that's important for people to know. Foster care is supposed to be temporary separation, and it gives parents an opportunity to address the problems that have created abuse or neglect within their families.
Also today with us in our studio is Tess Waller. Tess, can you tell us about your job at Department of Social Services?
Yes, I am the recruiter and also the resource home coordinator for the foster care unit. So my job consists of trying to find foster parents, help them understand, you know, what it's about, helping them realize their goal as far as becoming a foster parent, give them an idea what it would be like if a child was placed with them. And then I coordinate and help with the training to get into foster care. I give them the information to help them make a decision as far as a family, whether they would want to go that route, and then give them the guidelines that they need. And I am their support. They can call me anytime.
So Tess, could you give us a little idea about what it would be like, what a child in foster care would actually be experiencing?
Most of our children in foster care, you know, been through a lot of trauma or had some negative experiences. Basically, these children are everyday children that just need support of a loving family that are willing to care for them, give them stable home, let them be a part of the family, make them feel welcome and wanted and have some place they feel at home and safe.
So can you share with us the need for foster care in Worcester County and how many children you actually have in the system right now?
Right now in the system, we have 27 children in foster care. That changes daily. A lot go home. Some stay for a long time. Some get adopted. However, each and every day brings new experiences. So the children in the home, their ages from 0 to 18, and we really, really need help with the teenagers so that they don't have to go across the bridge to other homes where we are so short of foster homes. So if we can get foster homes in the local area, we can keep them close to family, in their same schools, with their friends, and it's a lot healthier for the children.
It gives them that consistency.
Mm-hmm.
What's the typical stay for a child in the foster home? How long do they typically stay?
Well, it depends on whether it's respite or if it's long-term foster care. That depends a lot on the family, how well they're able to adjust and meet the needs of the children. And we give as much assistance to them as we can. So it's a court system that's involved. So we have guidelines from the court that we have to follow. Also, the children, depending on what direction they're going to, if it's respite, they may come in for one night to 30 days, and sometimes that's extended for months, really. But that is between, you know, the Department of Social Service and the foster home. They make the decision. If they're longer than that and they come in foster care for long term, they would be there minimum 18 months before anything final would be started within the Department of Social Service, the family, and court system. After that time, then if the parents are not able to meet the needs or not doing what they are asked to do, then their parental rights may be removed. At that time, they would be placed in a home that would be an adoptive home. So the parents still have their rights for a long, long time. We and the courts give them as much leeway as we can and as much assistance as we possibly can.
So obviously, there is a great need for foster parents. The goal is unifying the families. Can you give us a little background about what is foster parenting?
We feel that children thrive in families. So when there's a need for a child to be separated from their birth parents, it's important for them to be in a safe, nurturing home that can provide them with the stability, consistency, and care that they need to manage the trauma that they're experiencing from the separation. Foster care is and should be a temporary separation, and our goal is to work with birth families to be able to heal and manage the issues that they're experiencing that causes the child from having to be removed from the home. The children that we're talking about are children that are at highest risk of being maltreated.
You got a great need for foster parents. What kind of criteria should someone who's thinking about being a foster parent, what do they need to know?
First off, foster parents need to know that they need to be willing to open their homes and their hearts. But children do much better in a loving, secure, stable home when they have to be separated from their parents. So we try to find families that are able to provide consistency, support, make things fun, provide opportunities for children to experience it, things that they enjoy, such as hobbies.
Being in that same school district, that consistency is what you're looking for.
That is so critical. And Tess will talk more about the supports that the department provides to our foster families. But the more moves that a youth has, the more traumatizing that is for them. So we are looking for that stability and for families that are able to be willing to take on a challenge, because it's not always easy, just as it is when you're raising your own children.
I want to emphasize that having the child remain in their current school district is well documented that it's to their best advantage to be among not only their extended family, their foster family, but also their teachers, their friends, which provide continuing and ongoing support for students that need extra assistance. But the advisory board was able to celebrate 6 adoptions last year. And if you've never been to an adoption hearing down in the courthouse, it's truly one of the most emotional moments I think that I've ever had as a mother. And the joy that's expressed on the children's faces and for the adoption family is truly heartwarming.
What supports would be available to me as a foster parent?
So as a foster parent, we are there to help you answer any questions that you have. If issues come up, obviously they need to be reported and we assist with those. If they can't get them to the doctor's appointments, then we obviously assist with that. They have a caseworker that meets with them at least monthly, if not more often. And so they work with them as well. If there are situations with the children that they're having a hard time dealing with, then we assist with that as well. We help make appointments for them for doctor's appointments, mental health appointments, physical therapy, anything that's dealing with the children, we'll always assist.
As a foster parent, can I request and like an older child, or I'm interested in respite infant care. Can you have a request?
Yes. And when I do a home study, we go over that in detail. Some may want infant, some may want only up to 5, some may only want males. I tell them that We will put that in their home study. We'll keep that in mind, but we will call you for all children from 0 to 18.
The need is great.
Yeah, it is seriously in need of homes. So most of them don't have any problem with that. And most of the time, if they take them in, they just fall right in love with them. But I also tell them the answer, no, is fine. We accept that and certainly don't hold that against them. We just keep calling.
I always compare foster parenting similar to dating. And when the child comes into the foster parent's home, it's sort of like that first date. And it takes some time to get to know one another, learning about each other, figuring out what the likes are and dislikes are, and how you can best mesh those differences. So foster parenting is a lot like developing a new relationship.
Good analogy.
So Tess, can you tell us a little bit about who would be able to qualify as a foster parent, such as are single families allowed to foster a child or seniors? Could you go over that a little bit?
So our foster homes consist of single parents. They consist of families, large and small, same-sex couples, elderly and grandparents. We don't discriminate on any of that, and we welcome anyone.
Yes, and your home study is pretty extensive.
Yeah, it takes a minimum of 4 months to do a home study, and that's usually after we've had them come in and meet. We have them come in and get fingerprinted, and then we usually start working towards the home study from there. So there's a lot involved. It's a lot of paperwork. I tell them I'll help every step of the way. I'm always available. Most of the paperwork is on me and not them. Most of it's for them to read, understand, and sign and agree to. I'll do approximately 3 home visits. They would need an alternate within the state of Maryland, preferably close.
What is the alternate do?
The alternate would come in case of an emergency. If they had a family member had to go to the hospital, okay, or they wanted to go away for the weekend, alternate is one that we've already background checked, and they need to come to their home to care for the children. We also offer respite to our families. They can go away and we find another home for the children to go in that's already licensed. And a lot of times we'll use the same ones for the same children year after year.
So is there any criteria that would exclude someone from being a foster parent?
There is criteria. We do criminal and child protective service background checks. So individuals who have had a indicated child abuse case or individuals who have been found guilty of crimes that are violent or against children, that would exclude them from becoming a foster parent. And also, if your home does not meet the standard for the inspection for fire safety or healthcare safety, then those individuals will not be eligible either. However, you can live in an apartment, you can live on a farm, you can live in a townhouse, you can live in a condo in Ocean City, or some of the beautiful properties here in Ocean Pines. Really, you just need to have the sufficient space and a safe and healthy home. And you have to be willing to open your heart and be understanding and flexible, knowing that children who are coming into foster care are experiencing trauma. They're sad. They're often depressed. They're often angry. They're often mad because of the situation that is bringing them into care. So understanding the behaviors that come with that and being supportive and loving towards that and not just turning your back, those are the types of families that we're looking for.
So you said you had 27 children in foster care right now. How many foster care homes do you presently have?
Presently, we have 7 homes, but only 5 active, and they're completely full. 2 we have on hold where they adopted children, and a lot of times if they want to stay as foster parents or resource home, we'll put them on hold for a year so that the children can adjust as a family. So right now we have 5 active ones, which are completely full. So having 27 children, obviously, we've had to put them in other homes in Worcester County, Somerset County, and across the bridge.
Far away from family, far away from their schools, and far away from that consistency.
Exactly.
So you really need people to step up and be a foster parent.
That's what we need.
How do they get the process started? Who do they call first? Do they call you, Tess?
They call me.
Give us your information.
I'm Tess Waller, Worcester County Department of Social Service. I'm the Resource Home Coordinator. My phone number is 410-422-9731. That's my cell. And if you call and I don't answer, I'll get back with you in 24 hours.
Wow, good response time. And we will be sure to put that up on our site for people who didn't have pen and paper to write that information down. This definitely seems like in a community of Ocean Pines that has over 8,500 homes, maybe some of our listeners are listening right now and placing this in their heart, and they want to open up their home for a foster child.
We would love to have some more homes and have them join our family at Worcester County Department of Social Service.
So Tess, how does someone contact you if they have a child right now and unfortunately they're in a situation and they have to put that child in foster care? Do they contact the same number?
I mean, it depends on the situation. If they call the local department number, they're going to direct them to either in-home service or foster care supervisor.
And also, if a family is experiencing problems or issues, challenges with a child, they can contact our main number, 410-677-6800. And we can support and help families link with community resources, such as counseling, educational services, other types of supports that could help that family meet those challenging needs.
And keep the child in the home.
And keep the child in the home with their family.
We really want to thank our guests for coming in today. This was great, and we're really looking forward to the next time. We are going to be sure to post our contact information on our website and our Facebook page.
Thank you so much for having us here today. It's so important to get the message out of what our need is to support families and children. But the department does so much additional work. We are here to help and serve, and anyone can contact our office at any time. We will do the best that we can to provide any support that's needed or guide families and individuals to the services in the community that would best meet their needs.
I'd just like to say that I appreciate being able to give our information out and my information so that everyone can give me a call that's interested in doing foster parenting.
I'm so thankful that the advisory board had the opportunity to bring the Department of Social Services to ROC today to discuss mission, vision, and especially the goals and needs of the Foster Care Division of Social Services. I'm looking forward to learning more about the agency and sharing more about what the agency can do for Worcester County residents. So until the next time.
If our listeners have any questions for our guest next time they're in the studio, please let us know. And please keep sending us your thoughts to keep the discussion going. Join us on our Facebook page by searching for Ocean Pines ROC and be sure to look for our official logo.
And if you would like to be a guest, advertise with us, or have a story idea you want us to cover, please email us at info@oceanpinesroc.com. And as always, thanks for listening to Rock Buzz, your community podcast.